Hi, I'm your host, Phil Mannard.
And I'm your guest host, Anthony Hernandez.
Welcome to SHIELD's Weird Online Recorded Discussion.
Otherwise known as SWORD, the AOS podcast.
As you may notice, Sarah is not here today, but we do have a special host. My friend Anthony Hernandez is joining us. We're going to do a special Thor the Dark World episode. As you all know, we are a spoiler-induced podcast. So if you have not seen Thor the Dark World yet, I advise you to go see it before we start talking about it, because we will talk about a lot of spoilers, especially probably the after credits stuff. If you still have not seen it yet at this point, there are two post-credit scenes. There's a mid-credit scene, and there's another credit scene at the very end of all the credits. Other than that, we're going to give you a couple seconds to go see it real quick. So pause it right here. This is a minute in. Okay, so you've probably seen it by now. But my friend Anthony, he's a comic book person too, but not as big as me. But last night we went and saw Thor the Dark World at the midnight showing.
It's more like an 8 p.m. showing.
8 p.m. showing, since they changed it from midnight showings now in our city to 8 p.m. So we went and saw it at that time, and I saw it again today because I still had money left over on my movie gift card, and I'm a Marvel person. I saw Avengers 5 times in theaters and twice with commentary. My life is sad.
And I've seen a majority of all these movies with Phil in theaters, at least either on his second viewing or his first.
Yeah. We saw Avengers. I saw Avengers with you. What was it? Second time? My second time was with you?
That was my first time watching it.
Yeah. And then Iron Man 3. It was...
Yeah, you watched
your
it
second
with me.
Time. Yeah.
And it was my second time. We watched this Thor together.
Yeah, we saw Thor together for my first time and your first time.
Yeah, we've watched a bunch of other movies, but those are all just the Marvel.
Amazing Spider-Man we saw, but that has nothing to do with the MCU.
Yeah, the midnight showing of that was tight.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that, but I liked it.
But what we're doing is we're going to talk about Thor the Dark World. We're not going to do as long of a podcast as SWORD, unless we get really into it and start rambling on stuff.
It just depends on the situation and how much we have to say about the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great movie. That's at the end. We do that. That's the closings.
Oh, see, I wasn't sure about that.
I forgot to tell you that ahead of time, didn't I?
Yeah, I was ready. I've been ready this whole time to say the end of the thing, thinking it was first.
No, we do that at the end, man.
All right then. Sorry, podcast people.
Sorry. So let's talk about Thor. It was amazing.
Personally, I like this Thor twice as much as the first Thor.
Good for it being the sequel, so you multiply it by the most times you like
well,
it.
Well, yeah, but mainly, like, sequels always kind of, they get me upset, because it's, like, the first one, I've always liked the first movie, and then the sequel always kind of bums me out, because I can always compare it to the first movie, and it's never as good. The experience is never as good, but this one was way better. It didn't throw as much at you, since you've already seen the Avengers, and you know all the Asgardian stuff. It's not as difficult to understand. You're on it the whole movie, and it's a great movie.
Yeah, I like how they delved more into the other nine realms. In the first movie, we saw Asgard, Jotunheim, and Midgard. This one, we got to see a little bit of... What were they called? What was it? Vanaheim. And how do you pronounce that?
Volstagg? Volstagg?
No, that's his friend. It's right up there near by the word boar. It's Svetarlnheim. We're just going to call it, to like save us like the embarrassment of actually saying it wrong, we're just going to call it The Dark World, since that's
much easier.
Yeah, and that's the name of the movie. So that's what the planet is.
Well, we should start at the beginning of the movie when it first opens up.
Okay, yeah. So when they open up, you get to see Bor, Odin's father, clashing against Malekith. Yeah, Malekith. And they're fighting over the weapon, the Aether, which we'll get into it later down the later down in the podcast why the ether is so important, because I thought, oh, this is funny. They're using it as a way to get Jane to Asgard, because I think in the first movie we kind of saw that Jane was going to go to Asgard maybe at one point.
I thought she was in the first movie, but then did she?
No, she didn't. Did. The Bifrost was destroyed before she could get to it.
That was the sixth scene.
When he just it, yeah, when he breaks it. That was crazy. I was just watching Thor this morning again before I went and saw Thor 2 again.
And he just breaks the whole thing.
It was crazy because Loki's just like, what are you doing? If you break it, you're never going to see her again. And then Loki kind of forgets, we're gods. We can just build another one.
Well, back to the second Thor. So the big war happens, and the only solution that Bor comes up with was, let's just take the weapon away from him before he can use it to make all the Nine Realms dark forever. So that's what happens. They just remove it from him, and it's assumed that it's destroyed.
Well, it's not assumed that it's destroyed. It gets put... Well, Malekith thinks... He doesn't know where it is. He knows it's somewhere, because you can't destroy the ether. It's like kind of destroying the Tesseract. The Tesseract is too powerful to be destroyed. That's what the whole Infinity series is about. But
didn't all the Asgardians assume that it was destroyed, but it was just moved. It was moved locations and buried.
Bor said, hide it somewhere where no one will find it. And so they put it, like, there are the Nine Realms, and there's these pockets within the Nine Realms that cannot be found at all. So, that's where they hid it, was in an area that it would never be found. But, freaking Jane.
Yeah, so, the movie starts off, and it's basically what happened right after the Avengers, similar to how, like, kind of Iron Man 3 was, but except from Thor's perspective, where they're taking Loki's in shackles. Loki knows he messed up, not really, actually. I shouldn't even write it that way. He more, like, laughed about the whole situation and made super light of it, like, what'd I do? But that's where the movie starts off, is just they're going to lock up Loki because he committed a lot of crimes on Earth.
Well, yeah, and I think the funny part about that was when he saw his mom and he's like, hey, did I make you proud? Even though I'm not your son, I made you proud, right? And she's just like, don't make this worse. He's like, please tell me how I can make it worse so I can make it worse.
You know what I really liked about this is because Loki's mom was more involved in this, you saw the human side of Loki, like the part that isn't all messed up and twisted and demented and I hate everyone.
Yeah.
He likes his mom.
Yeah, that's the only person that ever, like, was nice to him. His brother was always mean to him because he's older. He is... respected by his father, and Odin always favored Thor because Loki was just another prize to him.
Yeah, and then at the same time, what happens is they lock up Loki. There's no way he's getting out of what he did. I mean, he literally tried to conquer Earth and become a god. He even points out in the movie that Odin points out that the humans are just like them. But then Loki points out, you know, give or take 5,000 years of lifespan. Essentially, they're the same, but their lifespans are just very different. And, of course, you know, Loki's got super, like, mega powers, and everyone there does.
Loki got his powers through his mom. Did you know that? I found that out tonight.
I had no idea. Today. Is that in the movie, they mentioned that he gets his trickery from his mother.
Yes, because she had the spell, or she had the stuff where she could create the illusions. Like when she created the illusion of Jane, and when she created herself as an illusion inside Loki's gel.
Hmm. And so, going to the real world, what's going on at this? This is post Avengers. Like now, you know, everything's been settled. Aliens have already attacked.
It's been about a year since the New York incident.
Yeah, and they're not even taking place in New York. This movie is primarily taking place in London. That's where Jane went to help. Because she wanted to find Thor. I mean, there's this big love interest that was just not talked about in the Avengers, but now it's being talked about again in this movie.
Well, they did a small thing about it in Avengers, because there when Thor was talking to Coulson in the helicarrier, he's
to protect Jane's world.
He's like, and what about? And Coulson's like, we moved Jane Foster to a secure location. somewhere, and I don't remember where he said. But he said, we're going to keep her safe, so don't worry about it. But back to the movie. So Jane has been studying in London with Darcy, and Darcy has hired her own intern.
So an intern's intern.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
So this guy is nowhere near getting paid. Like, Darcy is close to getting paid, while this guy is far away from it. And they take the three of them head on over to an abandoned factory because they were hearing that there was fluctuations in
It was like a dimensional fluctuation. It's like what they're looking for to try to find Thor.
Because that's how Thor came to Earth, was when there was a dimensional shift.
And by stroke of luck, well, along with their science background going to London, but they actually find a legitimate spot where there are issues. There's like little portals.
The portal,
that can move objects, like, and little kids are the ones finding it, so, I mean,
they of got course the, they're gonna mess around with it.
Yeah, so they're playing around, you know, little jokes, you know, in these Marvel movies, like, oh, you know, this should be taken more seriously, but we're gonna play around.
I thought Thor 2 was a lot more comedic than it should have been, like, but that's what Marvel does, is they make the funny movies while DC makes the darker.
Yeah, it's like, you don't see Batman busting out jokes, but...
Yeah, you see the Joker busting out jokes.
Like, I love the little jokes in these Marvel movies. My favorite joke, though, was in The Avengers, where he, for Captain America, hands Nick Fury, like, some money. He's like, what do you bet him? Like, how much money
he
do you
said,
bet him?
Okay, he said, Captain America tells Nick Fury while they're in the gym, he says, I bet there's nothing that will surprise me anymore. Nick Fury's like, $10 says you're wrong.
And then
they're on the helicarrier as it flies away. And he just walks right up to Nick Fury, hands him $10, doesn't say a thing to him. Nick Fury pockets the money.
Yeah. So we keep getting off track off the Thor 2.
It's fine, man. They're enjoying our rambling, I hope. Right, guys?
I hope so. Well, all right. So what happens is every 5,000 years, approximately 5,000 years, all the nine realms line up. When they lined up, about 15,000?
We'd say about 5,000 is every what 5, the 000. One person was saying.
Yeah, so, all right, so the first time it happened, where it was a major event, was when that war was going on, and Bor prevents the Malekith from turning all the realms dark. Then it's assumed that another alignment happened 5,000 years later, and this was an uneventful alignment. This is back when Thor wasn't a big guy yet.
He was probably like a child.
Yeah, he was more. Yeah, he was. It was more like Loki and him being children at this time. It wasn't important. And then the next event is the current event that's going on in this movie, where Malekith is trying once again to turn everything dark. But his big problem is he can't find the ether, which goes back to Jane and London and the portals.
Okay, so when Jane is stumbling around the building while they're throwing shoes into the portal. Because Darcy wanted to throw shoes into the portal.
And their car keys.
Oh my gosh, that guy was an idiot. I really thought she was going to tell the intern, hey, jump, see where it goes.
I was hearing you in the theater saying that too. Jump.
Come on, just jump, jump. Dude, Darcy was crazy. I kind of thought she was going to throw a child in there at one point. So Jane's traveling through the warehouse by herself, which is probably the smartest thing she could do, right? It's an abandoned warehouse. There's dimension shifts, so why not explore it by yourself? So when she's going through it by herself, a wind kicks up, and she gets thrown through a doorway, which eventually throws her through a doorway through a portal, which lands her up where the ether is.
It was a pretty crazy event for that to happen. Like, even in the movie, they kind of don't play on how important that was really important, but how incredible that was that she happened to walk right where that ether was. But it sets up the whole movie, so it has to be done.
Yeah. It would have been crazier if it was just, like, Darcy, though.
Yeah,
it would have been like, what?
The whole movie would have been different.
Yeah.
Because then Thor would have had to protect Darcy throughout the whole movie, and it would have been awkward. Like,
yeah, he's like, I'm in love with your boss. Why couldn't this happen to your boss? Why couldn't your boss almost die?
So Jane goes to where the ether is, and...
She is smart because she sees something glowing red between two rocks, and she's like, oh, let me stick my hand into this.
Well, she doesn't stick her hand in. She more like just observes really close, and the ether kind of just lunges out and grabs
sort
her.
Sort of like the symbiote. Yeah, I was thinking that with the symbiote when it affected Spider-Man.
And it more like kind of like pervert grabbed her, like, and then she broke She kind of, like, broke away from it in a way.
It broke away, and then it entirely engulfed her body.
Yeah, and then she goes through, like, a kind of like a dream state where she's just kind of laying on all this ether, like, and it's all around her, like, almost like it's infecting her from the inside out.
Yeah. So, at this point, Thor is breaking away from a party that's going on, held in his honor on Asgard, and he walks up, and he's trying to walk away, and Sif stops him, saying, we don't think like we don't know where you go. If everyone knows where you go, it's we notice when you leave, so obviously you're going to Heimdall to check up on her. And he's just like, drink up, have a good night, and just totally ignores it pretty much. So he goes, talks to Heimdall, and Heimdall gives him his daily report on Jane. And Heimdall's saying, oh, right now she's looking for you. She's trying to find out how to get to you. Right now I can't find her. She's gone. And then Thor's like, well, where's the last place she was? And then later she wakes up from her state, and she's laying in the middle of, like, the street. No, she isn't laying in the middle of the street.
She's laying in the building.
She's laying in the building. Then when she comes out of the building, she goes up to Darcy and's like, did you call the police? And Darcy's like, you've been gone for 5 hours.
And in her mind, she had only been gone for what, like,
10 minutes maybe? Yeah. Like,
she wasn't even tripping about the time that she was gone, but she was gone a long time. And they don't talk about... The movie kind of bugged me on this part because she now has, like, a bubble. It's raining outside. And she has a bubble protecting her from the rain, which is assumed that the ether is now giving her some sort of field.
I was thinking it more so as Thor just saying, oh, don't want her to get rained on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and then you know, at that moment when she's talking to Darcy, she turns and she sees Thor, you know.
And then it's just like a whole romantic thing where it's just like, oh, it's raining and they're meeting together. Kiss! And then it's just like, no.
At this point, we're assuming that you definitely have seen this movie and we're not spoiling it. But if for some reason one of you decided to stick around for 17 minutes and spoil this much of the movie, this movie has a lot of love interest in it. Like, yeah. An excessive amount as for a Marvel movie. It reminds me a little bit almost of Spider-Man and Mary Jane. Like, it just constantly coming back to the love interest.
I felt that they had a couple good jokes on it, though.
They definitely did.
Yeah. Then again, like, you guys, if you're still listening and we're spoiling everything, you really don't need to go to the movie, because we're doing an entire bio of the movie, giving a lowdown on what happened and why you should go see it. Like, we're not doing everything. We're just going over, like, the main points. But, yeah, it's a great movie. The way I've been describing it to everyone when they've asked is...
It's a great movie.
I always use a different adjective, and this one, like, it hit me that this one was incredible. Like...
They did a great job. Thor definitely stands out now, and when I watch the next Avenger movie that's supposedly coming up...
2015, Age of Ultron.
Thor is going to be a more standout character, like how Iron Man was in this movie. Because he, you know, like... You know a lot about Iron Man, and then when the Avengers come up, you know, you're like, Iron Man's awesome, but you don't know a lot about Thor, and then now you do know a lot about
Thor. Well, Captain America, he has a movie still coming out that hopefully you'll be able to do the special episode of that, too.
Well, hopefully, if people are still listening to this podcast.
Yeah,
hopefully.
They're probably going to write us like, wow, this new guy, he's either interesting or...
Or he's horrible. Yeah. He's garbage.
Yeah, you guys should like Anthony, because he might appear every once in a while if Sarah can't make it, and if he can... So, get used to it.
So, we got to get back to the ether and how it's affecting Jane now.
Sorry for the delay on that. So, the convergence is coming up. Wait, let me see real quick.
Here, I know what happened at this point. This is small things that happen. So, an officer's trying to arrest Jane because they stay at that building too long and he touches her. The second he touches her, this almost like dark force field appears and throws this officer. Thor flips, like, he sees this and he knows immediately that there is something not earthly right with her. So he grabs her and he's like, I gotta take you to Asgard. Grabs her, boom, what was it called again?
He says, Heimdall, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, and then boom, he's in Asgard. There's a swear word that I can't say on the podcast, but you gotta watch the movie to see that swear word.
Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy slips a swear in this movie.
Darcy always does. Like, that's the actress
in that situation,
Kat
though.
Dennings.
Yeah, in that situation, though, it was completely appropriate for her to say that.
Well, I think
it was like a beam me up, Scotty moment times six. Like, what? Like, but they go to Asgard.
So they go finally to Asgard.
Jane sees Asgard. What was the name of
Heimdall?
Heimdall.
He's probably like my favorite guy in this movie. Like, one of my favorite backgrounds other than Fandral. I love Fandral in this movie, especially when they recasted it with Zachary Levi. I thought that he was a lot better than the original. But Heimdall is hilarious because he sees that Thor has brought Jane with him, and he just looks at Jane, and we all think that he's going to say, "You brought a mortal here." But in truth, all he says is, "Welcome to Asgard."
And everyone seems remarkably cool with the fact Thor brought her.
Yeah, that there's a mortal here. The only person who's not happy about it is Odin.
And Odin's not too bad about it either.
Get her out of here. But then he realizes, oh, you can't get her out of here.
She's got the ether in her.
Yeah, so we've got to do something.
Doctors of Asgard kind of determine, especially when they're going to remove her and tell her to go home because of Odin, and once again, someone touches her, and another field comes up, and everyone goes, oh man, she's got ether in her. This is serious.
One of the little jokes that I want to touch on real quick is, we're talking about the whole romantic jokes and stuff, that when Odin comes into the room, he's telling Jane what to do and stuff, and Jane's like, who do you think you are? And he's like, I'm Odin. I'm king of Asgard and all of the nine realms. And she's like, oh, I'm Jane Foster. He's like, I know who you are. And then she just looks over at Thor. You told your dad about me? Like,
back to, it was like a boyfriend-girlfriend type situation.
Yeah, I thought that was a funny joke.
It was. It was, like, we didn't mention it earlier, but when Thor did first appear to Jane, Jane's first reaction was to slap him.
Yeah.
Because, like, she was mad. She slapped him once to make sure he was real, and then she slapped him again for not showing up for 2 years. And it was just funny. Jane's got some balls on her. Like
slapping a god right in the face.
Especially after she saw what he did in the Avengers 2 and everything. Not to be afraid of him, but not to strike him. But back to her being in the doctor's office in Asgard.
So they determine that it is impossible to get it out of her, since every time they try to touch her, a discharge goes off, trying to protect not only her, but the ether.
Let's see.
We're reading it, trying to get the whole bio for everyone.
We don't
want to
skip parts and then jump back, like,
yeah.
That would be a bad way of defining this movie, because it was a really good movie. We want to be on key with it.
Yeah. Where are we at currently?
Well, Phil's catching up.
Okay.
Odin.
So,
you go.
You read it. I'm going to read further.
Read it. Just reading detail there, but, Odin, after seeing that vortex happen, like when they touch her, that big, like, boom pushes people away, Odin finally realizes the severity of what has happened, like, and he has to tell Thor now that the ether still does exist, but it was just relocated. And at this time, when Jane actually got infected with the ether, that's when the Dark Elf awoken from his sleep, because in the very beginning of the movie, when he had lost his war, he basically sacrificed all of his people to escape with some of his people, like his high-end soldiers.
Yeah.
So he wakes up.
What he did, though, was he was trying to sacrifice them all by blowing up all of his ships, hoping it would destroy all the Asgardians.
What a leader, right?
Yeah.
It's like, for real? It's like, let's sacrifice everyone.
And hope that we can keep, like, 40 people that can reproduce for, like, 10,000 years.
And yet I saw no females in there.
I know, right? Well, how do we know? Because they were all wearing weird masks.
They may asexually reproduce.
That's true. We don't know. The Dark Elves could reproduce by same gender. They're an entirely different species. But, where are we going right now? Okay, so, Odin tells Thor that this infection will kill Jane if it's left in long enough.
At this time, she stays in Asgard for quite a little bit, and there's little moments with her and Thor where they kiss, and it's like, you know.
Oh, they're happy. But, yeah. Like, you can see Sif hates Jane when they pass each other.
There's moments.
Because Sif is in love with Thor, But with Thor being in love with the mortal, she's kind of like, eh, I just kind of got to wait it out just another couple years, and then she'll be dead, and then I can have Thor.
I don't think that's how women think. If Sarah was here, we can get a perspective of that.
Well, but you don't know, because we don't know how Sif's mind is. She's a crazy warrior. Not crazy as in, like, crazy, but, like, she's awesome.
Well, at this time, the Dark Elf Lord, Malekith.
Malekith.
He has this weird, like, he's connected to the ether in a way, like, where he can know exactly where it is, no matter where it is, and it's in Jane. And where is Jane? She's in Asgard.
So what's his first idea?
Surprise attack.
Let's go hit Asgard. So what he does is he gives his guy, Algrim, he turns him into accursed. So what he does is he has him get arrested somehow. They never go into how he gets arrested. I bet that's going to be like a deleted scene of how the Asgardians capture him.
Yeah, it was really, really confusing because there was this cutscene where, what was it, he gave him that weird, like,
he gave him the rock,
pulsating rock.
With either power in it, I believe. It seemed like it was, because it was red and it glowed and all that funness.
All right, for all those who've seen the movie, if you can make sense of what that little thing was and how he got to Asgard, that would be impressive, because it was just really confusing. It was like, it was almost like he was straight G status. Like, here you go, you're going to be the boss, you have this super-powered, like, serum-type thing of ether on
it. It's kind
of
like the super soldier serum for the...
Yeah, for the elves.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all right, he stabs a hole in him. He's like, we're going to put it inside your body. So they can't find it. And then you're thinking, there's going to be a cool scene where you're going to see how he's going to get to, like, what was it, Asgard. But no, they just cut right to it, and he's automatically a prisoner going to Asgard.
That's why I'm thinking they're going to have, like, a deleted scene.
There needs to be.
Yeah, there definitely has to be, because we're not understanding how they're doing it.
That was confusing. That was probably one biggest plot issue I had with that movie. Me and you in the theaters were like, wait, how did he get there? And we're like, well, let's roll with the punches.
When I saw it the second time, I was like, yeah, they really don't say how. But
he gets there.
I think the bio skipped over the important part with Loki and his mom, it looks like.
Yeah, so at this time...
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll tell, because, like, I was really, like, into this part, because I like Loki, and I really, really like Loki after this. Like, if I could choose the favorite villain, like, I'm going to go with Loki at this point, and favorite hero, I like Captain America, but still, did I call him a villain?
Who?
Favorite hero, Captain America, favorite villain's Loki. I think I called Captain America
the actor that they chose for Captain America could make him a villain.
Well, Loki... Like, at this time, this is the time when they're showing, like, Loki is very close with his mother. And his mother's really trying to get through to him that he could be something better than what he has become.
Loki, you have 2,500 years left in your life. You're only halfway through your life. You can turn it around.
He's equivalent of, like, 24.
Yeah.
Like, for real. It's like you can do more. Like, why are you doing this?
you there's so much more potential in your life, and all you're doing is throwing it away by going to each realm and trying to destroy it.
Why are you trying to anger everyone? Like, why is that your mission?
Why don't you go to, like, the weak realm? Take over that one. Like, they could use a good king.
Yeah, well, it was a sweet moment between him and his mom, but there was the big question, well, if, you know, if Odin's not your father, then I'm not your mother.
Yeah, because she said, your father was trying to protect you, and then he yells at her, he's not my father. And then she's like, then am I not your mother? And then he had to come to terms with, if I'm going to say Odin's not my dad, I have to say that she's not my mom.
But he couldn't. He doesn't want to. Didn't he admit it?
He says, no, you're not my mom.
But you could tell it was, like, one of those things, like, when a kid gets mad and says, I hate you, and then it doesn't mean anything, like, later, like...
Yeah, well, he kind of says that for a reason, sort of, because he know he has to do it, because he's forced into this corner.
Sad part is, it's the last time he ever speaks to his mom.
Oh, yeah, because that next part...
The next scene is when the surprise attack is going to happen.
Okay, so the guy, the cursed, is in the jail cell. And he rips out the thing in his, like...
His spleen?
What is that? Like, his kidney, pretty much? Like, rips it out of his body?
It was somewhere to the upper left of the belly button. Like, this fool just has this big, huge rock. The size of freaking, like, a Pokeball, like, or something, like, in his body, and he just, like, rips it out, like, you know, he's a G, he can do this, he knows he rips it out, he breaks it, he's gonna be all good.
So he rips it out, becomes, like, this godlike monster, and they sell it, like,
kind of looks like the Thing a little bit.
A little bit.
Except Malekith, a really dark, messed up, distorted thing, like.
No, the Thing is more the rock monsters that we see at the beginning of the movie. That we skipped over.
We skipped over because it's very unimportant.
It's very unimportant, but I'm going to throw it in there because it is a little homage to the comics for Thor. The first creature that Thor faced in the comics was this. Okay. It was the monster that you see him destroy with one hit and with his nice joke. Anyone else?
This is like in the beginning of the movie.
We're just jumping back. We went really back, so we forgot about it. We apologize. We kind of skipped over that paragraph.
Well, Thor just... Basically, it's just explaining that Thor is uniting all nine realms, and he's trying his best to, like, be a just king. Like, at this point, he's leading to be a king.
Well, there's been... Ever since the Bifrost was destroyed, all the realms knew that there was no government to run them, so they're just like, we can do whatever we want. And it took him a while to fix the Bifrost, and Thor's been going around to all these different realms to fix the messes.
And Thor's been doing it.
He's been doing a pretty good job.
He's a straight G. Like, after the Avenger thing, no breaks for Thor, man. He goes back, locks up Loki, I'm going to save everybody.
And then keeps working, keeps going and going. And what does Iron Man do?
He blows up all his suits.
Yeah, he sits on his couch all day, building new stuff. No real enemies come his way. And he's just kind of taking a chill day. But, you know, he is suffering from...
I want to know what Bruce Banner is doing. Like, I'm just really curious. Like, you can have an approximate idea of what every character is doing. You kind of know what Iron Man is done. You already know what Iron Man's done. You know what Thor's doing currently. You know that Captain America is working for the government now because of the trailers are coming out.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, we haven't really found out what they're doing yet.
But what's the Hulk doing? What's Bruce Banner doing in this time? Is he just, like, hiding out again and just doing his little, like, I'm going to try to find a cure, but I'm not trying to find a cure.
Because then I can't be me, and then I can't help out. The Hulk keeps me alive. Because I did a lot of good.
You know? And this time, it's like, he's got to be cool with the Hulk. Like,
by now, he has to be like, the Hulk's very good.
It's a part of him.
Yeah.
He's
learning to control it.
Yeah.
That was something that...
Hulk said a whole sentence in the Avengers. Puny God. Well, that's a whole sentence, but...
That's an adjective and a noun.
Hey, that was the big thing in Hulk Smash. Like, it's just... It's another two-word sentence, but it's a Hulk sentence.
That's a noun and a verb.
It's a Hulk sentence. It's a whole new form of English that the Hulk has created himself.
It's one word followed by another one.
So, let's talk about the invisible ships, because... Back to the surprise attack after Loki last speaks to his mom.
Oh, well, we'll get to the ships in just a sec.
Did that happen right after?
No, what we need to do is tell about the whole breakout scene, and then we'll go...
Oh, my bad.
We skipped out of the breakout.
I'm sorry,
so breakout scene. Okay, let's go back to that last part that
Loki
we were talking about.
Loki speaks to his mom. His mom...
Leaves.
It didn't end well. Breakout scene happens. With the
curse crushes it. His entire body turns into this mess, and as it does, the room explodes, and all the other guys in
the
room...
Ether was everywhere, too.
Yeah. The entire room explodes and all the guys trapped in there. Well, as he's freaking out, all the other guys in the jail cell are just like, let us out. He's about to go crazy.
It seems like a weakened form of ether because...
It is. It's kind of like
if it was real ether, they would not need to do the whole movie. But it's like...
Yeah.
It's like almost steroids for them.
Yes, it's like a weak form of steroids. It's kind of like Coke or whatever.
Oh, like Bane. Is that like
Venom?
Venom. It's like
that's the best way to describe it. Yeah. Okay. So he breaks out and he's going and breaks open all these doors, letting out everyone.
First attempts to break a door with someone's face, though.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
funny.
He breaks it with someone's face open.
No, he hits a hiccup hard and then he's like, oh, this ain't working. Then he just hits it and it breaks open.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, this isn't working. So he goes out and two guards attack him. They stab him straight through. They like slice the sword down on him and it just gets stuck there. Which earlier they say, no, none of their weapons will affect you, which we'll say why that's really relevant later. But, so he's just going through, knocking out all the guards, breaking down all the doors, goes up to Loki's door, and Loki's just like, what would you say Loki's wants? Do you think he wants to be breaking out?
Loki just kind of stares at him with his little smug smile.
No, he doesn't even smile.
He just... No, he doesn't.
No, he just has a... He always has a straight face.
But Loki basically talks without talking. You know, actions speak louder. When he's just standing there looking at him. And what's this dude do? He looks at Loki and goes, nah.
He doesn't say nah. He doesn't talk at all.
He just kind of glares at him with his bright blue eyes and is like, I'm not going to break you out because I don't know. Like, he had no reason, really. He just guy in a jail cell.
I kind of feel that the reason Loki didn't want to get broke out is because he's like, this is going to cause a whole big thing.
They're going to blame me for this.
They're going to blame me, so I'm going to chill it here, and I don't want to get blamed for this mess. So the guy starts walking away, and I think Loki's like, I don't want him to cause that much destruction, so I'm going to make him take the shortest way.
So
take the stairs to the left.
The big reason for the breakout was that this Bane-like creature wants to destroy Asgard's shields.
Yes.
Because at this time, now is the surprise attack.
This
with
is
the
when
ships.
Malekith is coming in with all his men.
It's kind of like an inner attack and an outer attack at the exact same time, and it just really messes up their defenses. So they're not ready to deal with this because they're dealing with an internal problem, and now there's an external problem.
What I could say about that is Dark Knight, when Joker has that one guy in the jail with the bomb inside of him.
My stomach hurts.
And then, very low dramatic for that very dramatic scene right there.
No, why so serious?
Okay, so we get we get really off topic. This is our friendship right here.
Yeah. So the surprise attack happens. What's his name?
Heimdall. This is awesome because he knows that he can't sense these people because they are before him, so he cannot sense them at all. So
them and Twinkies. Yeah.
What?
Twinkies will outlive him. I know they will.
Dude, he doesn't see inanimate objects. He doesn't see food. He sees people and creatures.
Anything before him, he cannot see or perceive in his special ability to see everything.
He said in the movie, I can see 10 trillion souls, which is everyone.
Yeah.
So, this ship.
Except me, Phil.
You don't have a soul?
No.
You sold it?
Trade it for a Twinkie.
maybe he can sense it. That
I can sneak into Asgard. I don't got it. Like, what's Hannon?
Please don't try to get our agents to say Hannon. This invisible ship is flying past Heimdall, and Heimdall's just can kind of hear it. I think he can hear it. It's kind of like a hybrid.
He's
like
a warrior. Like, he's got this sixth sense about him. Like, he's a super warrior.
He's also older than pretty much everyone in that movie.
Combined wisdom, practically eternal life, and him.
Like, as long just I his feel ability. That as long as he's the Bifrost like keeper or whatever, he's immortal. He's always gonna age, or he never ages. But so my favorite scene of the movie is he just starts running as fast as possible along the Bifrost, jumps onto the railing on a lower level, is running alongside the invisible ship, and just takes out two swords and jumps toward it and kind of like impales the swords into the ships.
Like how pirates jump on sails, like in some movies, like
they'll slide
down it.
Yeah, take down the sail.
And yeah, that's kind of how he takes down the ship.
Yeah, that's the best way. It's like he's a pirate taking down another
Peter Pan.
Ship.
That's what I was thinking of. And
I
know it's a weird thing. Oh, have you seen Peter Pan? If you ever watch movies,
you don't need
like,
to ask. Have you seen it? You could just go with saying,
"Yeah, it's
Peter
just
Pan."
Like, he jumps and cuts the sail as he slides down. It's like same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So he does that, and he sees that the main operating part is this whirling.
He had a moment
engine.
Where he thought he was a boss, though. He had a moment where he's like, "I handled this." And
yeah,
then
he throws one of the swords into the engine, and the whole thing explodes, and it starts going down. He jumps off of it, rolls, does a tuck and roll like all superheroes do when he hits the Bifrost. It explodes, hits the Bifrost, and they're like, "Yeah, we're awesome. I did this all by myself. I stopped an entire invasion." And then
around.
He looks, and there's like 40 ships coming at him. He's like, "Oh man, I did one. You guys are on your own now."
it's the Republic,
huh?
It's like Star Wars,
dude. That's what I thought was. As these things are coming in, it really reminded me of Star Wars. As these things are flying in,
they look like little ships from Star Wars.
Yeah, they even had the sound effects of TIE fighters and
it sounds like pod racers,
X-wings. The pod racers I saw were the ships that the Asgardian has.
The boat ships.
Yeah, those little boat ships.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, though.
No, we're actually pretty much
the boat ships.
This is when they're attacking each other. The boat ships were there.
All right, but we gotta get, what was it? So the goal is,
we're going way too much in depth right now.
Yeah, we gotta get more broad than we are right now, because we're like 39 minutes and we're still like almost the beginning of the movie.
We're halfway through, actually. Because when I timed it, this was the time. Because I kept an exact point at what happened with, what's her name? Frigga. Okay, so Malekith gets all the way into the temple, or what would you call it? The castle?
Well, he kind of like, it's kind of like a suicidal ship. Like, it just kind of like, just flew in. Wow, okay.
The throne room.
Wait, I'm describing this very poorly. All right, so the Asgardians have a shield generator to protect their whole, like, empire from being attacked. This shield gets activated because
Heimdall turns it on.
He turns it on after he realizes, oh, there's more than one ship.
There's an invasion coming, and I need to stop this.
It's coming up. They're looking good. They're looking like bosses. Like, they handled this. They were way prepared. Well, what happened was the internal attack.
Yeah, that's what they didn't count on.
Because they're prideful. Like, they don't think that they can have that happen. They weren't prepared for that at all. They clearly were not prepared. Like, their way of preparing was the fact that Thor just happened to be on Asgard at the time this happened.
And he's known as Earth's mightiest hero, so
if he was gone, that's it. That was the end of Asgard right there. Yeah. To be honest. That would have just been it right there.
They kind of would have been like, oh, Thor's not here.
We can't handle this.
Well, Odin's no, like, Thor even says in the movie, you're the greatest fighter there ever is. He's saying that Odin's better than Thor. Like, and Odin's like,
Odin taking out people, though. I saw Thor.
Well, Odin came in and was just, when all of his men were being attacked, he comes in with the spear and just, like, lights them all up and takes them all down. You okay over there?
Oh, yeah.
You don't like it on your left hand?
No, we're talking about my wristwatch. It was just feeling funny, so I'm adjusting it. But,
okay, so
what does he do? Do you know the name of that generator that,
No, I do not know the name of it.
There's basically, like, this big internal generator inside their, like, inside their big-ass... Oh, sorry.
It's fine. That one's okay.
All right. I'm trying to avoid swearing. So, there's a big generator, and this generator controls that shield that's coming up and protecting their city. So what happens is he hits it. He just smacks it with both of his hands, and I'm thinking he committed suicide to do it, but he didn't. He just would... He's a boss. This dude... This steroid-inhabited elf is just a boss. And
he's cursed. That's what his name is yeah. He's cursed.
So he basically just smacks it the same way you'd smack a computer to get it to work, and then...
No, boom, I don't think I would smack my computer that hard.
Depends how much it's messing up, man.
Dude, this computer can't take that.
Well, it's a laptop. But that's what happens, and the shield goes down. And they were not ready for their shield, their prize, like, defensive unit, to go down.
Yeah.
And then Suicide Bomber basically goes in, crashes into their
takes
castle.
Takes out all the columns, pretty much, yeah. Except for the ones that...
And this is the means for...
how everyone's getting into...
Malekith get into the castle.
Yeah. And this is how all his army's getting in.
Which was kind of like a Trojan horse type style thing. Yeah. They're all, like, approaching it, like, all the Odin soldiers are approaching it, like, alright, are they dead? Did the ship work? What's going on right now? And then... They all just come out like a Trojan horse and just attack, like, without mercy.
Okay, so then,
The introduction of the grenades happened.
Oh, those grenades were... I thought they were awesome.
They're like a time warp grenade, like, or something.
I was thinking it more of like a black hole grenade.
Yeah.
It created a little black hole, it gathered all the things within, like, a 2-foot radius, and then sucked it in, and just... It was gone.
Yep, it was just like... Like, it made a weird sound. Like, it was... Yeah, it just sucked in everything and then crushed it to, like, a small amount. Yeah, like a black hole. That's way better. That's the best definition for it. Like, it's a mini black hole that can close.
It's a black hole grenade, yeah. We'll call it that.
They're tight.
Malekith is...
Those are important later.
Malekith is going all the way, is traveling his way through the temple. And I thought this was pretty cool, because when Asgard's getting attacked, Frigga... Thor's mom is with Jane, and she says, you're gonna listen and do everything I say. And Jane's like, yep, why not? I'll do it. I don't want to die.
She just got her mind blown, you know, like, she just traveled to two different worlds.
She has something that's killing her inside of her.
She's wearing some weird body armor that really emphasized her breast.
Yeah.
And now she's like, I'm gonna listen to this queen.
Yeah, and the queen, I noticed it the second time I watched that as they're walking, they walk past these guards, and she just takes one of the guards' swords, and the guard doesn't even notice. So that's gonna kind of suck when he goes to attack them and doesn't have a sword. He's like,
"What?" You know, I think they would notice, but since she's the queen,
he's like, "Oh, that's fine. Yeah. You can do that."
It's like you can basically just punch me in the face. And we're
getting
to deal with
it. We're getting attacked. You may want to protect yourself.
Kind of like the Russian soldiers that stand outside and they don't blink or move. Like, you know, they just got to deal with it.
Yeah, and like if the queen comes up and just Queen of England just comes up, starts slapping him in the face, they're like, "We got to deal with this."
It's the queen.
I can see the queen doing that, yeah, right?
I would do it if I was the queen, but I'm not a queen. I'm
you're,
a king.
You're king. and Thor's a god.
So. Yeah, well,
who do you want to go?
I'll take this one.
Okay, go.
So, basically, the plan was that she was going to protect Jane because she knows the ether is very important and that they can't get it. That Malekith should not get this. He gets this, game over, end game, you know? So, Malekith enters the chamber room and, you know, it's the queen and Jane. So, at this point, you're thinking, she failed. Like, Jane is not safe. She's right there with her. And you get to see the queen bust out some ninja skills on her. I'm not going to lie. She was like...
The queen was awesome.
She was like, a great fighter.
She was like, oh...
Way unexpected. Like, yeah. I was like, whoa, she can hold her own. Like, well, she so probably was, had to fight Odin a few
so
times.
So was Queen Amidala. Queen Amidala, she came out of nowhere, and that's Natalie Portman, who was Jane.
Good point.
Did you know that? Or did you just find that out right
just
now?
Just find that out right now.
Oh my gosh.
So,
he's not the big on the actors.
I'm not very big on the actors. I'm big on the stories.
That's me. I'm the actor.
I'm the guy who can find a plot hole in Back to the Future. I'm sure some people find it, but I can find it.
You
I
saw Back to the Future how many times? Like,
a bunch. Since yeah. I was like 10, I've seen that movie. It became my favorite movie. Yeah. Got me hooked on it. But, hey, if you're curious, and I'm not going to tell you, but the plot hole is in the third movie. And everyone doesn't like the third movie, but that's where the biggest plot hole in Back to the Future is.
Yeah. Okay.
But back to Thor.
Yeah.
you go from here, man.
Okay. So, did you already cover the part where she's dead?
Well, no, dude. Oh. Everyone.
That was bad. Okay, so...
If I could swear, he just effed up right there, but all right.
But they've already seen it, and we're giving our views on it right now. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot, and... Wait...
Don't read Facebook right now.
I'm sorry, Mel commented on something.
Who's Mel?
Mel is a
Mel
big...
Gibson?
Mel, no, Mel Jones. He's a big person in the Sword podcast. He created our logo and...
Oh. Shout out to Mel.
He gets a shout out every episode.
And this is your shout out. He just made a Facebook.
This is your special shout out from Anthony. So, yeah.
What's Hannon Mel?
Okay. So, Malekith comes into the room where, Jane is fighting, Frigga's fighting the Cursed. Malekith comes in and just, like, says, where is the Aether? Because he realizes that Jane's not really there. Frigga used her trickery powers to
protect. Just like Loki.
Yeah. So, he says, where is it? And she's like, I'll never tell. And this is my favorite line that Malekith says. He's like, it's okay. I believe you. And just stabs her. Like, yeah, you're never going to tell me.
Mega scene right here.
Like,
biggest scene in the movie right there. Not the biggest, but that was a really dramatic scene.
Yeah, she gets stabbed straight up. And this Thor sees it happen, like, right here.
I shouldn't say what I'm thinking, man. That'd be rude as hell.
What?
Oh. It's like, it's like extreme. Oh, that's what it looks like, dude.
I'm going to bleep out that word.
All right, he bleeped out a word on me. It was a well thought out bleeped word. But
you know what? I'm probably going to be too lazy to edit this long or something, so please.
Anyone who's listening to this podcast, they should be proud of me, even though they don't know me. I have not dropped one F-bomb.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
I'm just going to, yeah. Okay, so Thor comes into the room, and he's like, oh, Asgard, no, by Odin's beard, and just electrocutes just Malekith's.
He basically thunder shocks Malekith's face. Thunder shock.
He's not Pikachu.
Dude, Pikachu and him would get along.
I'll have to show you the picture. There's a picture of like Thor with Pikachu.
Hold up, I'm gonna blow everyone's mind. What's Han and Mel?
Stop fixating on Mel, man. But
now he's gonna be psyched though.
Mel's probably weirded out by now that we keep talking about him.
It's just your Facebook thing just happened. It just happened.
Okay, so Thor comes in and he goes and just chases after Malekith, but Malekith jumps off and rides away on a ship, and Thor throws his hammer at the ship, but the ship disappears.
It's a noble try.
Yeah. And this is when Odin comes out, and they have a really moment together, and
the best way I could describe the funeral like proceedings.
It reminded me a lot of Tangled.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I was so gonna say Tangled right now. I've seen that movie, and you know when they light all the lanterns and let them up, even though it's supposed to be like a joyous event and that thing, they let like, these orbs up in the air. That
You know what I thought was cool was the fire art arrows.
Yeah, just it was funny that Archer missed.
Like,
he gets one shot, and if he misses, this is the queen's funeral.
If this was, like, a comedy movie, how many times did you think that they took, like, they actually showed him trying, and it missed a couple times?
It seemed like her body went over the waterfall, turned into, like, a star or something. Like,
yeah, I think that it turned into a constellation by Norse mythology.
Yeah, well, okay, like, we can talk about the funeral a lot, but it's, like, it's not too important to the story, just to acknowledge the fact that she is definitely dead.
Thor has lost his mom.
At this time, Loki is informed that he lost his mom.
Yeah, and you see him just go like, okay, thank you for letting me know, but there's no...
The second he's alone, boom.
His entire room gets flipped over.
He basically loses control of his ability for a moment.
And everything goes crazy. I thought that he was actually going to go frost for a moment, because he lost focus of who he really was there at a moment.
Yeah, it's like Loki went through a moment right there, and then later we'll talk about his major moment, where you really see how bad he got. He kind of looks like a girl who just got dumped at the prom. Oh. That's the best way to describe it. But
so, well, actually, we're coming up to that spot right now.
Well,
Thor says, okay, they've already attacked us, and there is shut up,
Mel once again.
No, don't even go.
Facebook. That's funny.
Stop. Okay, so we come down to that. What'd you grab? Your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I got a text. I want to make sure it wasn't in crisis.
Was Mel texting you?
Possibly. I don't know.
Okay. So Thor's like, they've already attacked us. We know that they're going to attack us. We need to not have as much bloodshed on Asgard. We need to go to them. We're going to go to them, and we're going to take an army. And Odin's like, you can't take an army. We're not going. We're going to fight here. And Thor's like, how much Asgardian blood are you willing to spill? And Odin's like, as much as it takes. And Thor's like, I'm not having any of this.
He's like, then how does that make you any better than them?
Yeah.
For sacrificing all his people to get out.
Yes.
And lose the war. Basically lose a war and then continue it later pointlessly.
Yes. So what he does is he's like, you know what? I'm going to get my homies and we're going to just break out of here.
And his idea is fueled by both love and his disagreement with Odin. Like, he wants to protect Jane, and he knows that if he takes Jane to her, if he takes Jane to Malekith, Malekith will remove the ether, which is killing her. And then Thor should not make plans. That is such a Captain America or freaking Tony Stark
type. Tony Stark has never made plans. He doesn't make plans. He's kind of just winged it. It's kind of like...
But he can wing it right.
Yeah.
Like, he wings it. He's the king of winging it. But, okay, Thor's plan is, all right, he's going to remove the ether. As he's removing the ether, I will destroy it with my hammer. And Jane will be fine. The ether will be gone. I'm going to be a G. Everything's going to be
good.
And
then Malekith, I can easily just shock the other side of his face and he'll entirely be dead.
Yeah, or, you know, just basically, if he destroys the ether, that's the end. That's the end of this issue. Like,
yeah.
But it doesn't turn out quite that way, but we'll get to that.
Okay, so he gets all of his guys and says, here's the plan. There's only one other person who's made it out of here without using the Bifrost. And they're like, no, we can't get his help. We're not going to use his help. And then they cut to Loki in jail.
And Thor comes up to Loki, and Loki looks fine. He looks like Loki always does. And that's when Thor, he knows his brother.
He goes, enough with the illusions, let's talk. And the illusions go away. The room is trashed.
Loki once again broke. And a girl dumped on prom night. That's what he looks like. He's got no shoes on.
Yeah.
Like, he's like all covered in blood. He looks messed up.
And the wall's covered in dirt, and I'm wondering, how does he have dirt in this room?
I don't want to brush your bowl, but I think that was feces, dude.
Yeah, like, me too. I'm thinking.
He's just shitting in his hand and throwing it like a monkey. Like,
Yeah.
Like, there's no dirt in this room. Or it's blood and he's cutting himself. One of the two. Like, really dark blood. Really dark blood. I don't know. We'll leave that up to you guys, but I'm leaning on the fact that he pooped and he played with it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Thor goes down and says, hey, we know you want... I know you want vengeance. I want vengeance. Our mom's dead. Let's work together.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
And that's what this was.
Who said that? That was, I know they said it in Star Trek, but I don't remember.
I know, but that was the exact situation. Like, they both have a common enemy, and they need to work together in order to get the shared vengeance they want.
So, he says, if you betray me, I will kill you. And Loki's just like, let's do it. I'm in.
Right there. Xbox achievement, team up. Five gamer points.
Five? That's it? Just
that's
five?
It, man. That's
not
it.
20? I think it'll be about
you
a
get,
20.
You get 20 when you save the world.
Okay, so at the end of the movie.
Don't spoil it. The
what?
Okay, guys, the world could or could not end.
Okay. So, it looks like they skipped over the whole thing.
Wait, Wikipedia has a really poor summary of this movie.
We haven't even talked about Selvig yet, and I really want to go... I know this earlier in the movie, and we kind of skipped over it, but I'm going to go into it right now.
All
right,
go for it.
Selvig has lost his mind, with Loki being in his mind, and... he building the Tesseract, being with the Tesseract, and he spent more time with it. He just loses it. They actually find him butt-ass naked in Stonehenge, running around with sticks, saying that the aliens are coming.
I've only done that like twice in my life, so I can get where he's coming
from. No, that
from.
Wasn't at Stonehenge, man. You didn't have the money.
I was
you
on
did
so
that
much drugs, it was Stonehenge. It was Stonehenge, Bill, in my mind.
Okay, so... So Darcy and Ian say, let's go get him. He can probably help us even in his dumb state. And I know that we're spoiling a lot of stuff. And for the people who are listening to this as a way to not go see the movie, here's the one thing that we're not going to tell you. We're not telling you when Stan Lee shows up in the movie. Oh! Okay, so...
a regular show right there.
See how it, like, spiked us entirely? Like, we did that at the same time.
That was way early in the movie. We failed to mention it.
Yeah.
Small part, for
it was,
to say.
It
was a small, big part.
It was a small, big part.
It was to introduce him into the movie.
Okay, so they go to... They get Loki out. They break him out. And which I don't think they ever described how they got him out of the jail.
His door, he probably could just open it out.
He probably just had, like, a flip...
Yeah, a kill switch thing. Like he's just got like a little car remote. Doot, doot, like
it opens up. Okay, so should we tell them about
the Easter egg?
The really good one, my favorite Easter egg. I think we should. All
right, here, I have a good way of wording it. Which Easter egg though? The cameo.
The cameo.
You tell them about the cameo. I'll tell them about the other Easter egg.
Okay, I don't know which one you're talking about.
All right, then that's good then.
Okay, so we see. Thor and Loki are walking through the throne room, pretty much the long hallway where these where it's the columns, and Loki's like, okay, we need to be incognito. I'm gonna dress up like this. So he dresses into one of the guards. He dresses up like a guard for Asgard, and then Thor's like, stop messing around. We need to go meet up with the others. He's like, well. What if we walk in less cognito? And then he turns himself back into Loki and turns Thor into Sif. And Thor's like,
I think I like your company more now.
I think I like your company more now. And Thor's like, doesn't matter what body you put me in, I will still kill you. It is a deep voice coming out of Sif.
And it will hurt.
And then Loki, best part, says, okay, fine. I guess I'll turn into someone that you favor more as your own companion now. And then he comes out from another column, and it's Captain America, Steve Rogers. It's Chris Evans in the Captain America costume.
Legit Captain.
Yeah, it's the Captain America costume that they used in Avengers.
I was laughing so hard in theaters because
my
favorite Avenger.
The entire audience was erupting with laughter, man, which they didn't when I went and saw it again today.
You didn't?
No, I was like, what? But then again, there was like 15 people at this showing, and I like that surprised me more.
Thor hasn't been known to be the most popular Avenger. After this movie, he should be.
He's going to be the Tony Stark of the next Avengers, I believe.
Well, it's like the first Avengers capped on Thor mythology.
And then now it's like the second one seems like it's going to do it again. So people have to pay attention to Thor.
Yeah, especially with what the Aether really is.
No more going to freaking the Avengers and you ask, did you like the other movies? And they only say, well, I watch Iron Man and Captain America.
No, because if you ask...
And then they didn't watch the other ones and you're like, well, why are you watching this right now?
If you ask people, who's your favorite Avenger after Avengers? Everyone was like, Hulk! Hulk's the best! And you're like, really? Like, he's had the very worst movies and he gets like one good part in this movie and you're like, he's the best? I had a hard time believing it when people
like,
said that.
I like Iron Man. Iron Man is a sick
dude. Tony Stark, man.
He's Tony Stark. But it seems like these Marvel movies do play favorites with him a tiny bit.
Yeah, but I heard that what they did with Tony Stark, they're going to do for Doctor Strange in Phase 3.
That's cool.
You know Doctor Strange. That's going to be awesome. They still haven't casted him yet. A lot of people, and I'm on vote for this actor, Liam Neeson.
Doesn't he kind of, like, have a training thing, like, with like Batman does, but with his abilities?
Sort of. He gets met by the...
I watched an animated film about
him. I haven't seen it yet. I want to.
Watch it. It's awesome. Back to Thor. We're going way off topic again.
Sorry. We'll go off topic after we're done talking about this.
That's a conversation we're going to have after this, probably.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Captain America. This is hilarious. Loki's like, yeah! Now I know why he wears it now. The spandex, it feels like freedom. And just want to have a long talk about Patreon, comrade. And just like Thor throws Vance to the wall and says, no more tricks.
And the Easter egg that was mentioned, well, it's not an Easter egg, but it's a big important part that if you did not notice, you'll know now. The guard that Loki does turn into appears again in the movie as
and we'll
a key
tell
character.
You, we'll tell you when. We'll tell you when this
just
guard
remember
shows
that
up.
This guard does show up again. It's Loki's pretend guard outfit, basically, to get, you know, just be a guard and so he's not noticed.
So they're walking. So then they meet up with the group and they're like, okay, let's go get Jane real quick. So Sif helps them break Jane out
in the most obvious possible way. Let's just go get her. Let's not do anything.
She just knocks out all the guards and says, come with me. Because she kind of hates Jane. Because Jane's taking Thor away from her.
Like, I can shorten up the whole... This scene is important, but there's nothing huge eventful in it besides one particular part.
What?
They basically have this big strategy to get Jane out of there. And Loki's the key in it because he knows how to get off Asgard without using any
normal
means.
Without
using the Bifrost. And the fact is, it's just a big plan, and Thor basically steals the ship that the...
Wait, we skipped over two parts that were very
important.
Perfect. Yes. Sif says to Loki, if you double-cross him, I will kill you. And then he goes over to, what's the guy's name? Volgstag. And Volgstag's like, if you betray him... I will kill you. And Loki's like, evidently, there will be a line.
In this movie, Loki plays a big comic relief.
Yeah, he is the comic relief, especially when they're breaking out in that ship. Like, they finally figure out how to get the ship up, and Loki's making fun of Thor because he can't figure out how to turn the ship on at all.
If you're wondering what that jingle sound was, that was my keychain. Oh.
It's okay, I'm turning this on explicit, but try not to.
All right, you guys, I said freaking. Not the F word.
Wait, just tell me what part this was at. This was at 1 hour and 2 minutes in, and we'll go back and cut it. We really thought this was going to be like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and
for real.
I'm sorry if I'm taking off a lot of your time, Anthony.
It's cool. I'm a special guest host.
Yeah.
And not special as in I ride the small bus.
No, he doesn't anymore.
Used to.
But
no, I didn't. I rode my bike.
He had to wear three helmets. But they get
one
up
on my head, one
ship.
On my back, and one on my ass.
Okay, can we not try to do this much though? Like, I'm saying, like, I know I'm gonna put the explicit thing on it.
It's all good. Hey, but so escape plan for Thor. Thor is finally what gets a plan that works out very well.
So they're like, let's take this ship up and we're gonna fly it out of there. How hard can it be? So he gets into the ship and he just starts slapping all the buttons because he cannot figure it out. And then Loki's like, why don't you try pressing it gently? You probably missed a button. Thor's like, I didn't miss a button. Just slams his hands down, and the ship turns on.
Remember I told you, Phil, earlier in this, you slap a piece of machinery, and it will work.
Well, Jane tried doing that with that little device, and it didn't do anything.
Hey, it worked in that situation. Yeah. Though. It just slaps it, and it works.
So they fly it out of they fly it out of there. And Thor's knocking down all these different columns, and Thor's and Loki's like, "Oh,
Loki's
I think you missed a column. I think you missed one." And Thor's like, "Shut up, Loki!" And they're flying out, and they're flying towards this like hallway, and he, what does Thor do? He decapitates
his
a statue of his grandfather, and Loki's like,
"What's that?
Good
what's
job,
his name,
Bor.
Bor.
He good job, like, Thor. Bor. You decapitated your grandfather." He's like, "I don't want to hear it, Loki. Your commentating is not helping me concentrate." And so they're flying along the Bifrost, and Loki's just like, Loki's like, "Between the two of us, I'm a better pilot. I can do this." And Thor's like, "Between the two of us, who can fly?" And that kind of irritated me, because Thor can't fly.
His hammer can.
His hammer can. He can throw it, and the strength of it can carry him. To the like, I've had many arguments about this with my friends, that Thor can fly, Thor can't fly, Thor can fly. And one time, my friend, like, he
Here's
was
a question.
Diehard.
Do you ever see him hover?
No.
If he hovers, he can fly.
If he hovers, he can fly. I admit that.
But if he throws something and he goes with the momentum,
he goes in an arc
physics.
Always. He
it's
always
physics.
Goes in an arc.
He just throws it and he goes along for the ride.
Yeah. So we see, so Thor's falling down. So they're flying, and Thor just grabs Loki and just throws him out the window.
I thought he killed Loki.
That's
right
what
there.
I thought too. I thought, man, how are they gonna get out of Asgard now?
I thought Thor just lost it. Now,
so
I was like, why did he do that?
Thor goes, picks up Jane, and just jumps out with her. And they land in Fandral's little boat.
Now that ship is a diversion.
Now the ship is a diversion, flying off while the rest of the Asgardians are shooting after them. And Thor, Loki, and Fandral are kind of like sailing, but not sailing. They're sailing at a hovering.
It's a fancy ship.
Yeah.
It's just a fancy, like, jet-propelled ship.
And with Fandral being, like, the musketeer of the group, he's kind of has that look. Like, he's like, I can handle this ship. This is my ship. And then they get people following them, and they're like, Fandral, take care of him. Fandral's like, okay, for Asgard. And goes, takes him out.
He says nothing personal, though, when he hits him.
Yeah, nothing personal, boys. It's just business.
And then he goes, pop, pop, pop. And then he's good.
And then we see Loki flying the ship, and they're like, Loki, you know how to do it. Let's go. So Loki starts flying towards these rocks
with an increasingly like
growing speed.
Yeah, like a big grin that's just getting bigger and bigger as he's heading towards a solid rock.
And like, Thor's like, I thought you knew how to. Thor just looks at him like, are you mad? And he's like, kinda, but if it was easy, everyone would do it. And that's the moral of that thing was. You kind of got to go like 85 miles per hour through that tunnel, scratching the minerals, and then it's going to shoot you off in the next place.
Yeah.
Do you like how I did that?
85? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Back to the Future reference right there.
Okay.
Another hint to the Back to the Future spoiler. It's in the note that he sins Marty.
God.
He didn't. If he would have mentioned one thing, the third movie would have never been made. Bring another gas tank. That is
the biggest
plot hole.
And okay, so let's get back to Thor. So they're on
I just blew their minds.
They're on the Dark World, since I can't pronounce the other name. They're on the Dark World, and Loki
basically they're where they're trying to get, and they're there now. And they're both, Loki and Thor kind of have their one moment where they can talk one-on-one, brother
like,
to brother.
Hey, no offense, this just happened, and let's try and make a hero out of you, Loki. And then he's like, take the handcuffs off me then. And
asked for the handcuffs to be taken off. It was after they get off of
it. It's when they get, oh, you're still talking about that point.
Yeah, well, they just have that one-on-one kind of goes.
That wasn't a really big thing.
It was just Thor expressing how he wishes he can trust Loki, and Loki actually is hearing him out. Not like in the Avengers when he was just not hearing him out and just
he's like, I'm going to do my job. I'm destroying this planet. This is my job.
Yeah, so this is the first time Loki's actually listening to Thor about something, and Thor's just relaying, I want to trust you, and I wish I could.
So they get off the ship, and they see the alien ship, and they're like, let's do this. And Loki's like, take the handcuffs on. And Loki says, do you trust me? And Loki's like, would you? You destroyed an entire planet almost.
Unlocks his handcuffs,
What does Loki do? He just stabs Thor right in the stomach. And Thor stumbles down the mountain, and Jane follows after him.
Jane, very, very unaware of what's actually going on. But,
So Loki goes over there and just starts kicking Thor. And Thor's just like, let me get my hammer. Holds out his arm to grab the hammer. And Loki just cuts off Thor's hand. And like right here, I'm just like, oh my gosh, are they going to go the whole route where... Like,
I am your father.
No, Thor is, Thor being a robot. In the Civil War, Thor was a robot in that.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to show you the Civil War. I'll let you borrow it sometime. It's really good.
I was thinking of freaking Dark Vader. It's like, I am your father. Oh, no!
His
hand gets cut off by Loki. And Loki has clearly just...
And
betrayed
just
Thor.
Kicking Thor in the face. And Malekith comes up, and Loki goes like, here, I brought you a gift, and just throws Jane at him. And Malekith holds Jane up in the air and extracts Aether from her.
And then all Loki asks is, I want a front row seat for when you destroy Asgard.
To watch Asgard burn.
And he kind of gets, what's the dude who... turn into like this like thing like creature
cursed just call him cursed.
The cursed, he kind of vouches for Loki saying I saw him in the prison cell,
he's an enemy of Asgard,
he doesn't like him. and you can see he doesn't like him because he cut off that dude's hand.
which is big right here because Thor outstretches his hand,
it comes back,
his hand comes back, he grabs the hammer and just
zaps,
electrocutes the Aether and destroys the Aether. What we think, kinda like it's blowing up. Jane's okay. Jane's off to the side.
The Aether's now removed from her. She's not in any sort of dying thing from it no more.
And they stop it from going into Malekith at this point.
And then boom, explosion.
A boom, huge explosion. Everyone goes flying in different directions.
Thor just handled it. You think he's good? He just sawed everything.
So Thor runs after and just tries to kill Malekith right now, throws the hammer, and this is the first person we've ever seen be able to change the direction of Thor's hammer.
Once
the
again,
hammer goes flying.
None of
by
the weapons
cursed.
Can affect the cursed.
Oh, that makes sense. Like, I didn't even, like, I read that one thing, like, how nothing can affect him.
Including Thor's hammer.
Oh, good. Nice. Good job on catching that.
That little spike in sound was a clap.
A handshake. like a high five.
Which happened in the movie a few dozen times when we were watching it.
Yeah.
Especially when Captain America appeared. But still.
Yeah, we high five a lot. That's our thing.
I was like, high five. All right. So Thor's fighting. Thanks. Basically, what happens is the Aether was not destroyed. It turned to like a crystal form. It hardened. Because earlier in the movie, there was an offhanded mention that the Aether adapts to protect itself. And in this situation, it did. It turned crystallized. So, the Aether was not destroyed. Thor's plan failed. And the Aether... So, Thor, you know, he's like, I'm a brute. I'm going to use my hammer. And that's when you see the deflection happen. The Aether gets absorbed into Malekith. He successfully gets it. He turns kind of emo. He looks all dark now. And they're leaving... You know, he's happy that Jane's alright, but now there's a fight breaking out between the cursed with Thor and these other, like, foot soldiers, if you call it, with Loki and his little, like, spear thing.
No, it's not a spear, it's a
it's
dagger.
A dagger. It's a dagger.
Which
I don't
is
know why I call it a spear.
Loki had a dagger in, not Avengers.
The first Thor?
Yeah, in first Thor, I saw that.
Yeah, so there's this cool little fight scene. You finally get to see Loki actually fight without being a wiener. Like, he's just... He's
not
fighting.
Being it for evil. He's doing it for good.
I mean, he's actually fighting, to hand-to-hand fighting. You get to see his Asgard side where he
can fight.
Dude,
he's just flipping that blade around and stabbing and ruthlessly, like
the last time
you've
seen him, you didn't even see him fist fight in the Avengers once.
Well, you
he
saw
got
him
whooped by the Hulk.
You saw him fight pretty close
with
Thor.
Yeah, hand-to-hand with Thor. Yeah, he did do it. It's not... This was a legit, like, Loki fighting with his little... with his dagger. And I liked it. I thought that was cool. Just
okay.
Didn't do it.
So then the cursed comes up and is right about to kill Thor. Has Thor down.
Skipping the...
And he's just
we kind of skipped the fight,
the
but
face.
Essentially the fight is one-sided. cursed is really
the curse
getting
is
on
winning
Thor.
Because Thor can't beat him.
Loki's doing good against foot soldiers, but then again, they're foot soldiers. He's not fighting the big boss.
All they are is cannon fodder, pretty much. They don't even have faces. They only have masks that they're wearing.
So huge moment in the movie right here. Thor's going to get creamed.
Loki comes up and stabs an elf's spear right through Cursed.
And the cursed weapon hurts him.
And he's just like, well, this sucks. And he grabs Loki.
Bear
and
hug.
Plunges the spear into Loki also. Like,
I'm
going to
die.
Him,
I'm taking
much.
You with me.
Yeah. And Loki gets thrown down onto the ground. And he's just like, see you in hell, monster. And then you see
Loki had swiped a grenade. One of those little gravity
vortex
grenades.
Black hole grenade. And it just takes the cursed and...
And it was pretty traumatic because the curse was really fighting it, but he couldn't.
Yeah.
Because it was his own weapon used against him once again.
Yeah.
His own weapon was used against him.
Loki's
a boss in that moment. Loki is a total boss. But
and
Loki's
Loki
dying.
Is dying right here in front of Thor. So not only did his mom die in front of him, but his brother is dying in front of him now.
Both from stab wounds.
Yeah. I think Marvel has a thing with stabbing because Coulson gets stabbed and
everyone gets stabbed. It's really dramatic.
Why can't we just decapitate? Like, that would be a lot easier.
Well, so Loki's dying and he's dying an honorable death. Like,
and
everyone wants it to be Loki's dying a hero.
And Thor's like, I will tell Father of all this. And Loki's like,
I didn't do it for Father. I did it.
Like, I didn't do it for him.
He did it for Thor.
And then no, he didn't say that.
But he didn't mention it. He's like,
He didn't say anything. He says, I didn't do it for Father. And then... It wasn't as bad as Talia al Ghul's death in Dark Knight Rises. But it was just
it was traumatic.
He closes his eyes. Like, it's kind of like the nice thing that when a person's dying is, please close the eyes so we don't have to close it for you.
Yeah. The thing is, Thor wants to mourn. He does mourn for a period of time. But he's aware that Jane needs him.
And... the convergence is almost
his plan just messed up. Like, he needs to fix this now.
So they're walking. So now she and her are trying to get out of the sandstorm that's coming at them, and they go into this cave. And
they realize they're trapped there. There's no way back. Like, they didn't know plan past the failing.
Yeah, they're freaking out about this right now. And
Jane gets a phone call.
And Jane, what's the guy's name who does Pimp Out My Ride? Because that song is by him.
But Jane gets a phone call in a different universe. Like, she's
in a cave in a tunnel, which is really hard to get.
And she's like, "This is impossible." So she gets this phone call, and then she realizes the phone call was kind of unimportant. It was just the fact that the phone call happened, but it was someone she was dating in the beginning of the movie. He's not important. It's just a stupid, side thing. Like, Jane trying to move on, but she can't. And so she's like, how am I getting this phone call?
She's walking around.
Car keys.
She walks around. No, the first thing she sees is the can that she threw.
It
threw the portal that was in the warehouse with the children.
Yeah, and then she also finds the car keys to the car that the intern threw in.
Yeah, the intern, it was stupid because he's like, I'm going to throw the keys in there and let's see it come out.
Because apparently sometimes when you throw things through the portal, they come back, sometimes they don't. And I guess when they don't, they end up in that cave.
Yeah.
So she's a boss. She figured out we can get back to Earth.
She just grabs Thor and just runs straight into the cave and... they're back into the parking lot of the warehouse.
It's like, this is a prime example that shows that she is Thor's better half because
she's scientific. She sees the science of it all.
And Thor's got the brute.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can see how they can play off each other like that. They're a team. They're a partnership. And so they get back. She starts up that car.
Yeah.
You know that they left there because they couldn't drive it off without the keys.
Well, I'm surprised that the police didn't just impound it.
I'm surprised too, but it's London police. You don't know. So they get... And this is where the reunion finally happens, where all the main characters on the Earth for Thor movies...
Thor, Jane, Eric, Darcy, and Ian all meet back up. They go into her apartment where they're all at, and funny little joke, Thor hangs up his hammer.
Yeah, he hangs his hammer up, but yet...
on,
his hammer,
a coat hanger.
How is his hammer being supported by the coat hanger? That's what's bothered me.
Because if anyone else tried to grab it, it wouldn't move.
So if someone else would have touched that hammer while it was on the coat hanger, it would have just ripped off the coat hanger.
No, it'd just stay there. It wouldn't be able to move.
It's weightless. It's magic.
it's a magical thing, and they go into it like big depth with the girls arguing about it in Big Bang Theory, which is hilarious. Mm. But so
essentially they're
so they meet up with Eric. They meet up with Eric, and she hugs Eric, and Eric's not wearing any pants, which is very awkward for her.
But it makes him think better.
Yeah. Isn't that what you say most of the time?
It's like, that's what he said, too, and it doesn't make you think better. It's nice not to worry about pants. So I'm less worried.
Oh, God. I don't want to lose any viewers on this.
All right. For people who are against pantlessness, I apologize. But it happens in this movie, so be warned.
Be warned. It's a big no, it's not a big deal.
But it happens twice, and one situation has no underwear.
Eric sees Thor, and he's like, oh, Thor, your brother's not coming, is he? No, he's dead. And Eric's like, oh, thank God.
At this time, Loki's a hero, so it's like...
It's like, you kind of feel bad, and you're just like, Eric, no. But Eric's lost his mind, and if you think about it, Loki kind of messed him up big. And Eric's just like, oh, good, he's not coming. And he's like... And then he catches on to Thor, like, this is not a good thing that he's not coming.
Yeah. Well, and then... What was it? What happens? They make a plan. They start talking about the temple disturbances. They start talking about a plan.
And they do a map out of all these places that they originally left for them.
They essentially figure out that the Stonehenge and all these, like, buildings...
Places. Like, if
a map
you line it
that
up,
the ancients made to
it
find...
It crosses all the way up to Greenwich.
Because, don't forget, 5,000 years ago, one of these events happened that didn't cause any issues, but the ancient people were able to map it.
Oh! Nice on that one.
Another clap. But,
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, another clap spike. But, alright, so, remember how I said in the beginning that every 5,000 years, each situation happens where all the worlds line up. So, essentially... The one that had no big event where, you know, like, biblical death event was going to happen, that's where the ancients made Stonehenge and all the other, you know, all those other mystery site, archaeological buildings. And they all line up, and they show the exact point where all the worlds are going
to
line up and where the
and
ether
it lines
can be
up
distributed.
To Greenwich in London. So... Yeah. Which, they kind of were not that far off. They were pretty much where they needed
it's
to be.
It's like, hey man, we can go to Burger King, pick up some burgers, and we can go save the world, you know? Like, we got the time.
And Thor's like, oh, I haven't had an American food in a while.
Let's shout out to Burger King, come on, give us funding.
Dude, that's
need a
hilarious.
Need a $6 mic.
You making fun of the mic? It's a little stick.
Hey, for the record, this was filmed on a $3 mic. This is a tight mic for $3.
Yeah, so, if you guys want to... Like, fund us.
Yeah, Burger King. We're down, man. Yeah. I like Burger King. It's great. Yeah, have it your way.
No, wait, that's McDonald's.
McDonald's, hey.
Yeah, we're doing the even logo. Okay. Okay, so they head on over to Greenwich, and they're like, we need to stop this. And so... They're hammering in all these, like, what would you call it?
They kind of look like electrical rods in a way, but...
They're like dimensional ships.
Which, what was the doctor's name again?
Selvig.
Selvig. He made these prior to all these events happening because he predicted it would happen.
He knew it was going to happen because...
Hence him being nude and trying to put one in Stonehenge.
Yeah. He but was really close.
He just learned that Stonehenge was a piece of the map to lead him to where he was supposed to be to stick those stakes in. Okay. So it's not one of those little iffy things like, oh, how do you make it and how do you prepare? He was prepared for this for a while, and now they're adapting his technology to use it.
Okay, so they go there, and they place all these in, and the giant and Malekith's ship comes crashing into Greenwich. And
really nonchalant.
It kind of just sauntered up into Greenwich. It's just like, hey, everyone, how's it going? And everyone's just like, ah, because they're just running in opposite directions.
There should have been a sticker behind that ship saying, call about my driving. So it was really bad. But they essentially get to where they need to get to release the ether to make all the realms dark.
Yeah.
So the elves
so
can
the
rule
convergence
supreme
is coming in, and like all the dark elf foot soldiers are going in and they're attacking everyone. And what Jane did is she's figured out how to work the dimensional
was
shifts.
Was it temporal shifts? Is that what they called it?
I thought it was more of a dimensional, like...
It could be argued, but basically...
fluctuation dimensional shift is what they said.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
It's just basically where all physics goes out the window.
And what she's doing is she's just like, oh,
making
we
pockets.
Got them all in. Let's do this. So she starts making all these people, like, disappear and reappear in different places. And
normally this wouldn't work, but because everything's lining up, the closer that, like, all the realms are to getting lining up, the easier it is to make these happen. And yeah. They're happening on their own anyways. She's just using this machinery to use it to her advantage.
Yeah, she's using it to use it for herself.
But she can't use it to control all of them. So they're happening randomly anyways.
Yeah, which is hilarious when it's just everyone's just popping up in all these different places. So Thor's fighting his way.
Big fight scene in the movie happens.
It's the big fight scene. Marvel is known for their huge, extravagant fight scenes that are overmade.
Yeah, and this was the fight scene that was overmade. This part,
I timed it. It was 7 minutes.
For anybody who watched this, it does raise the question, where is S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why has S.H.I.E.L.D. not shown up to this event?
Oh, come once? On.
Dude, it was like, all right, how long ago was it after the events of the Avengers happened
in this movie? The New York event?
Yeah.
That was in May of 2012. This is November of 2013. So it's about
a year and a half go by, and aliens had just attacked New York City from freaking a vortex in the sky. And this happens, and only two fighter jets show up to
destroy the ship. And they're thinking, oh, this will do it. And
if
then
Thor had not shown up, Earth had surrendered, basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they brought in the Avengers, it wouldn't be a Thor movie, but S.H.I.E.L.D., there should have been some S.H.I.E.L.D. interaction at this point, I feel. Like, even S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury, he didn't have to show
up. If you noticed, Darcy kept trying to call S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole time. She's like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not even picking up. And Ian's like, what's S.H.I.E.L.D.? And she's like, it's a secret. Shut up. Don't ask about it.
But that was way early in the movie.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Before a big event happened.
But they're saying it throughout the entire movie. We can't reach S.H.I.E.L.D. Where's S.H.I.E.L.D.? We can't find
S.H.I.E.L.D. That might be brought up in future movies. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s doing something else.
Yeah, well, it might get brought up. Because in Agents, in our actual show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Thor is actually going to... The events in Thor is going to make a big part on not next week's episode, but the week after. So stay tuned for that one.
So, big fight scene happens between Malekith and Thor.
It's not really much to say about it.
It honestly, if it were a one-on-one fight where there weren't temporal shifts throwing them every other direction across all the realms, Thor would have won that fight very easily.
Yeah. Okay, so Thor's getting thrown into all these different realms. And
there's a big fight scene. They're getting thrown everywhere.
He heads on over to Jotunheim, the ice realms, for those of you who don't know all the names. Jotunheim was the frost giant planet.
From the first Thor movie, and also the Avengers movie where they're getting their
that was an entire dude those are Chitauri, those weren't aliens.
Oh, see, I got them mixed up there.
No, it's fine, man. You should watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though. They talk about the Chitauri. They even talked about it in a recent episode, which was a really good episode.
Essentially, he's just going everywhere, and at some points he loses his hammer because his hammer is in one realm and he's in another.
Yeah, he gets transported to another.
Funny thing, the hammer still goes for him. It'll just leave Earth and it's coming back. It's leaving Earth and coming back as he keeps coming back to Earth.
I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny. The hammer's just really synced to Thor. Like, super synced. Like, that's cool. It's like a remote you can't lose.
Yeah.
I wish my remote did that.
Dude.
I leave the planet, it comes after me.
Okay. So, they bring back one of the frost monsters that they forgot to kill in the first Thor movie.
It comes into the Earth realm.
And then it starts helping him. It starts fighting the actual elves. It starts eating them. It's hilarious.
Not like it's intentionally on one side or another. It's just like a dog that's not trained.
Yeah, it just starts attacking them.
And at this time, Thor's having this fight, and they're trying to, like, trying to get those little rods that they put into the ground to finally function, because once they function properly, they can end this. They can mess up Malekith's plan.
Malekith.
Sorry. He's a weird name. But but they can mess up his plan with these little rods, because these rods have the potential to close, like, to throw him into another realm.
What they do is Thor is given the rods, and he goes into this entire, like tornado of either that
movie's
Malekith
climax
making.
Right here.
Yeah. Thor takes him and throws one right at Malekith. Malekith catches one with one hand, and then it disappears onto the dark world, and you see his hand flop down in there. And then, like,
he's losing limbs left and right.
He throws another one. He's given three sticks. Throws another rod. The other rod stabs right into his shoulder, and the other arm goes to there. Now, he's armless. He doesn't have any arms. So Thor,
unarmed combat.
Literally, no arms.
Thor's hammer is finally getting close to him.
It's getting back to him. He catches it and throws the other rod into Malekith.
Right in his chest.
Yeah, right into the chest. And Thor hammers it right into his chest. And then it disappears. And Malekith disappears and heads back to the Dark World.
Which messes up because he needs to be at Earth.
Right
to
now.
To release the ether everywhere.
And the ether disappears once he's gone.
Yeah, it's like it's linked to him. It needs him, like the symbiote in Spider-Man. It needs a living host. It needs to be in him. So he's gone. It's gone.
It disappears. And the ship is just left there. But
it's fallen.
It's falling down. But then out of nowhere, it just...
What's his name, the scientist again?
Eric.
Eric. The ship's going to fall on Thor, and this is where you really see, like, the connection between Thor and Jane.
Jane just jumps down on top of Thor. She's
it's like, if he's going to die, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
That's her... it's like a married couple in that way. Like, oh, I don't want to live without him. So, it's going to fall. It's going to kill him. And the scientist... why do I forget his name? It bugs me.
Dr. Eric Selvig.
Eric Selvig.
Dude, Eric, our friend.
I know. So... they use the rods that were previously set up, and he uses them, and he uses the ships to his advantage again, the spatial ships, and throws that to the Dark World, which then
falls right on top of Malekith and probably kills him.
They don't give him enough credit, but he just saved Thor and Jane's life.
Like,
they don't
he's the hero of the movie, it and was like, he's freaking insane.
It was like,
so.
Good job, man. You did an okay thing. It's like, no, dude, you just beasted. Yeah, legitimately, they should give him more credit for what happened.
He should get a medal.
Yeah, like a little Thor medal, like of a thunderbolt and stuff, like, and a hammer.
Like the Flash symbol?
Like the Flash symbol mixed with Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, yeah, this is the Thor badge. No one gets this.
We give it only to the best Boy Scouts. So that's pretty much around where the movie's ending.
Yeah, there are end scenes that we shouldn't talk about.
The post-credits?
Should we? Because...
I think we've gone this far that I kind of want to talk about it, man.
There's one really important one, and then there's one
important. It's the second post-credit scene is as important as the Iron Man 3 post-credit scene.
All right, we'll just say
we're skipping ahead of our ahead of ourselves.
Wasn't that the end of the movie though? Like,
no,
Malekith gets crushed by his own ship.
No. We see a guard on the Dark World.
Oh, yeah.
There's your favorite
part. Forgot to mention this earlier.
Before Malekith is back on the
Dark World. Remember how I mentioned that Loki can transform into that guard? Well, this guard gets seen again. And you're unsure if this guard is really the guard or Loki. You're unsure because, you know, he had to get the image from somewhere, right? So he reports to Odin mid-movie that there was another body found after Thor had left and Jane had left to go fight, you know, Malekith on Earth, that Loki was found dead. This guard looks at Odin and gives a smirk, and then they cut the scene. So you're unsure what that was about. Well, this leads to the end scene after the credits in the movie.
No,
that wasn't an end scene.
No,
I could swore it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was late, guys.
No, this was this was the exact end of the movie. This was the exact end of it.
Thor comes to talk to Odin.
You want
to
do it?
No, you do.
No,
it,
I'll do the post credits.
Mention how Odin was sitting. That's all.
No,
I wanna.
You do it.
No,
because
you do it.
I want to do the post credit, man.
Do both.
Okay, so Thor goes in, and he sees Odin at the throne, and he says, my brother has fallen, and he died an honorable death. We stopped the events on Earth, and Malekith, I believe, is destroyed. Like, we can never be certain if anyone's destroyed nowadays in the Marvel universe.
Not at all.
So he says to him, and Odin's like, and will you be taking the throne? And Thor's like, no, because if I take that throne, I can't protect the people like I'm enjoying. So,
like I'm enjoying.
Yeah, he's liking protecting people firsthand instead of having to send people to go do it for him.
Essentially, Thor's a warrior, not a Democrat. A warrior, not a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he's going about.
So Odin says, I have one son that wants the throne too badly, and one son that doesn't want it at all. And Odin's really weird at this point, because he's kind of like sitting, kind of like how a normal like teenager would sit in a chair.
Not arms, how Odin sits.
Like, legs stretched over one one arm on the chair, and he's just, like, really relaxed. Like, kind of how I am when I'm playing Xbox.
Odin is not a relaxed man.
No, it's weird, because it was weird seeing Sir Anthony Hopkins sitting like that.
He has a tight butthole. That's the only way to describe it.
Okay, so Thor's like, we will do an honorable thing for him. So Thor walks away, and we see Odin, like, smiling, because he's like, I'm proud of my son. But a shimmer happens, and it's not Odin. It's Loki.
Loki had survived. He never did die. Apparently, the soldier that came back was Loki in disguise.
Yes.
But you don't know what happened to Odin. The last time you saw Odin, he was talking to the soldier who is actually Loki.
Yes. A lot of people, or there's some speculation that Odin is, because Odin grasped at himself earlier in the movie because he was freaking out. So a lot of people are speculating that he may be in Odin's sleep right now and an unknown location.
But it's yet confirmed.
Yes, it's unyet confirmed. If we ever find out, like, I'll tell you guys on the Facebook page how or what we found out. We would like a spoiler-free thing for the for the Facebook group for at least, what would you think, like 3 weeks? Give people a couple weeks to go see
the movie. Just consider it like this. If you spoil it, you ruin the movie for somebody else.
We're spoiling it because we're doing this for the people who can't afford.
But we forewarned you.
Yeah, we forewarned you. And we're also doing it for the people who can't afford to go to the movie. Kind of. Yeah. That's what our thing is, right? That I've kind of figured out.
If you go on Facebook and you point out something like, all right, like, this happened. If someone casually reads that, you literally ruin the movie for them.
And if they say something about it, we may ban you from the group. I don't want to do that. We barely have members as it is. Dude, you should join the Facebook group. Like, seriously. Like, I'll send you a link to it on Facebook.
I showed up on your show before I joined the Facebook group.
I know.
It happened, guys. It could happen to you. Just send a donation of $14.99. No. No, but all right. So, okay. You cover the end scenes because you describe them.
You do the last one.
You've seen it twice
because
you've seen them twice. Okay. I want you to describe them because those are the most important thing in Marvel movies.
For those of you,
it's important.
Okay, we're gonna give you one last chance. I know we've said it all throughout the movie that this is big spoilers. This one is the biggest spoiler of them all. So, if you don't want to know it before you go see the movie, here's the biggest thing.
Spoiler alert.
For the people who know who the Collector is, the Collector in the comics, weird dude. We see Sif and Volgstag taking the Aether Gem. Or not, I can't believe I just said the gem already.
Well,
We see them taking it in like a box to the Collector. And the Collector's really weird, as you all know in the comics. He's this really weird guy. He collects all these things across the universes. And he gets it, and they legitimately say, Sif says, we can't keep this on Asgard. It's dangerous to have two Infinity Stones at the same time. Which is the confirming that the Tesseract is the space gem from the Infinity Gauntlet, and the Aether is the power gem, the blue and the red, or the purple and the red gem. I don't know why they made the Tesseract blue if the actual space gem is purple, but
why would they have two stones and not the rest?
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's dangerous to have them all because once you combine it all, you can create the Infinity Gauntlet, which is what Thanos is all about at the end of the Avengers at the end of the Avengers credits. So, as the Sif and Volgstag walk away, the Collector is like, one down, five to go.
And movie's coming up. That's
yeah.
What he's saying.
See, and that's the end of all of it, other than the whole other post-credit scene.
Do
you
want
to do this one, or should I?
It's semi-important, but not really. It's more important to, like, the story between Thor and Jane. Thor comes back, kisses Jane. Woohoo!
And then that's the end.
He didn't leave her for 2 years again.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. It was a great movie. I really liked it more than the first Thor because, like I said, the first Thor threw so much at you so quick before Avengers.
And then now you've seen Avengers, you're not, like, in the first Thor movie, you're not totally lost on Thor and their mythology and how everything works for Thor. And you see this movie and you see it in a different light, and it's really good. I liked it.
Yeah, I get, and that's pretty much everything. And we kind of went a lot over than we usually do for an episode.
It's a movie.
This is kind of like a little, like, special. This is a big special. Sorry to keep you guys' time, but here's the thing. You didn't have to follow along with an actual episode, like, watching it as we're talking about it. This, you guys could just listen to your phone when you're just driving to work, or...
your phone, your mobile device, or any other audio output informational technology.
So, yeah, you didn't have to listen to it all in one point. But, yeah, and I guess that's all we have for now. If you guys liked Anthony as a guest co-host, I'm actually trying to get him to come back for maybe another episode of the actual show, maybe once in a while, because Sarah's really involved with her finals coming up right now. Other than that, I think this is it. So, if you want to email us anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or if you want to talk about the Thor movie, you can email us at swordaospodcast@gmail.com.
You can also find us at facebook.com/group/swordpodcast, which we mentioned earlier in the video.
Yeah.
Or the audio.
Head on over there. It has a link to all of our other episodes that we got up on Podomatic. Also, we are on iTunes. Search Sword AOS Podcast and it'll come up. Right now, the logo is bad. It's not working so well. So it's going to say Podomatic. That's the one that you should click on. Right now, the Sword logo is not up yet. I'm still trying to figure out how to fix it. But for us here at Sword, I'm Phil Maynard.
And I'm Anthony Hernandez. Stay classified, agents.